Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. If you missed part one, Rory Paquette shared his story and the philosophy behind minimalist podcasting. That's how I got started. Today in part two, we're getting tactical, how you can start and grow your podcast without overspending, over editing, or over complicating the process. Rory, welcome back to the show, my man.
Thanks for having me back again. I thought maybe you were going to boot me out after that last episode, so I appreciate you.
No, we had so much fun. We talked about all the things that both you and I resonate with, especially with how we got our podcasting started and you know, where we're going and how what we're teaching to the people that are listening. So let's start at the beginning. Someone's listening right now, and they want to start a podcast. They've been thinking about it for a while. What's the absolute minimum setup they need?
Awesome question. The I would say the minimum, if you're going to put out an actual podcast, is you need a way to record the podcast, and you need a way to put it on a platform and share it. So the way that I recommend folks start is with something simple like a Zoom program, which is really inexpensive and simple to use. It's not the best quality, you know, of course it has, you know, some issues, but it's easy and it's simple and it does the job. However, if you're going to use your phone and not a laptop or, you know, type of scenario or a PC of some kind, then Zoom will not record on your phone. So what happens is you end up needing to move into more of a Riverside, you know, type situation. And that's kind of what I tell people. So if you don't have to use your phone to record, then Zoom's really simple. And it gives you a separate audio file and video file, and then you can learn the ropes. Yeah. You also need some kind of a platform because that makes your life easy. And there's, you know, Buzzsprout, and there's Podbean, some other things like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where they offer either really, really inexpensive starter package or a free starter package for a limited time to try it out, to give it that type of thing. And that's it. Once you get those two things done, you're ready to go. You don't have to have a mic. You don't have to have headphones. If you have a computer, you can use the mic and the camera and the everything right on the computer. If you're doing it on your phone and you're not trying to do Zoom or anything like that, then you can just go ahead and talk right into the phone. Now, I have had folks say, hey, I really don't want to spend money on any of those things, but how can I get rolling? You can download an Audacity program or a GarageBand program, totally free, and you can use your phone, and you can record an audio only, very simply. Yeah. There you go. You have a podcast. And the only question is, how do you get it out, right? So then you get back into needing a Buzzsprout or, you know, something like that. That's going to be just either a free starter trial thing to put it out or what have you. We used to have Anchor, you know, years and years ago, and that was a great platform to start with because it was free, you know. Yeah. It gets swallowed up by Spotify, like pretty much everything else does. Everything gets swallowed by a bigger fish. But that's one of the easiest ways just to begin and just to start, you know. So that's what I tell people right out of the gate. They're like, well, what kind of mic do I have to have? You don't have to have a mic. If you want to get a mic and you want to spend a couple of bucks, go on Amazon, type in, you know, podcast microphone and go with the cheapest, simplest option. Just start there, you know. Yeah, I remember the first thing I got was I got the headset and the microphone connected, and I think it cost me $45 at the time. And that was just because, I don't know, I think inside I felt like I wanted to look the part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't need it. I could have started a lot cheaper. Yeah.
I love that. I love that, Rory, because getting started and not having to worry about, you know, all the expensive gear is most of the time the biggest bottleneck people stick around with, right? You know, worry about. So starting with the smartphone, starting with simple software on your computer, microphone built into your computer, perfect way to get started, because that's going to tell you what you're missing and what you want to do better. Because until you've recorded something, you're not going to get any feedback. It's almost like, I want to make rice. Let me read everything about how to make rice. Okay, how do I make rice? Here's all the things. Well, you got to go get the rice and the water, and you got to do the mix. You got to get started to make rice. And that's not going to do it either, right? So once you've done it, once you've got the water and the rice leveled right, you now got to turn the stove on. Like, you got to put the fire on. And that's, you know, that's a similar to, so you can record 10 videos on your phone, but until you upload it, you haven't turned the fire on, right? So that's something, right. I love the things that you share here. What's the biggest waste of money you see beginners fall for all the time? You mentioned about the microphone, and you also mentioned about, you know, audio versus video. We didn't really focus on audio versus video, but I think we're all leaning towards audio-only podcast first.
I think if you're going to start and you're really concerned about cost, audio is the easiest way because it starts up. But by the same token, you can do a YouTube show with the exact same stuff.
Yes.
And you can just record a video on your phone and then put YouTube on your phone, and you can upload the video to YouTube. And now you've got a, quote, podcast, right? A video form of a podcast is kind of the way we're all looking at it now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, when you and I were starting out, it was, you know, there was audio, which was a podcast. And if it was video, it was like, Vidcast or so. We had a whole different name for it.
Yeah.
And now it's just a video version of a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it all is kind of the same, you know, bag, you know, for everybody. So in terms of that, where's the biggest waste of money? I personally think it's in the mixing board.
Ooh.
I think everybody gets caught up with, I've got to have this soundboard and this mixing board and this. And I'm like, bro, you can get, if you spend money, you can get a mic and a headset and plug them into your computer.
Yes.
You can get a mic and a headset and spend $15 more and get a little attachment that goes on the end of the mic, you know, USB and plugs in your phone. You're done. You know, but people, I got a great deal on this mixing board. It's $400 and something. And now I can control my levels. And I'm like, for what?
How many people are you recording with?
Right. Brother, you have zero downloads right now. I mean, and then they put it out and they're like, man, I only had like 6 people listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those 6 people got a really great quality podcast.
They got a good quality content. Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest waste of money at the beginning. Now, there's a time and a place to add all this stuff in as you get going. But for beginners, that's my opinion, the biggest waste right there.
You know, I've never owned an interface board myself. Like, I've always had USB microphones from the Blue Yeti to now the Shure MV7. I haven't even gone up to, you know, SM7B yet, because I'm like, this is fine. This works. Mm-hmm. I don't need additional things that can go wrong. So again, start small, start simple so that you can focus on the content. So talk to me, how can they focus on content over equipment? Because all we've heard so far is equipment. But people come not for the equipment that you bought. I'm like, oh my God, this guy bought an RCP2. I need to go listen to this podcast. No. It's about the content. So talk to me about how can they focus on the content alone.
Absolutely. That's a great question, because we all start our podcasts because we have content inside of us that we want to share. If you don't already have your content within you and you don't already have a desire to share it, you're not looking to start a podcast in the first place. So that is the most important piece. And, you know, when the question is, how do I focus on that? There's two things. The first thing is, what is it you really want to say and why? But the second thing that so many people skip in this process is, who is it you're really trying to say it to?
Yeah.
Because so many of us line up to start podcasting and we just go boom, and we're just going to speak out into the world. And well, if it applies to somebody, maybe they'll hear it. And that doesn't help anybody. That doesn't actually help you. Yeah. So one of the first things I do with folks is I had a session yesterday with someone who's a brand new client, and we spent the entire session talking about their avatar. You know, who is your client? Who is your person you are trying to speak to? Who's your target, right? Yeah. Who are you trying to reach? You know, and when you take 5 minutes at least to think about that, everything else can start to fall into place. You can't figure out what the message should be or how you should deliver it if you don't know who you're talking to. And people skip that because no one really drills into their head that that's one of the most important parts. Yeah.
You know, somebody had mentioned, hey, I want to start a podcast. And this coach asked him, like, so who's it going to be for? It's like, oh, it's for everyone. I got so much good stuff in here. Like, so is it, so would like a 80-year-old person listen to or a 13-year-old person? Like, oh, that's a good question. Probably a 13 because this is a young person, you know, so it's probably a 13-year-old person or 15-year-old. Like, there you go. That's your target audience. You got to figure out who's the message is going to resonate with, because that is where the value comes in from, right? That's where you're sharing that value with them. Let's move in into now that they've recorded everything, now that they spend the time like, okay, you know, Rory, thank you. I'm recording it on my phone. I just use the voice memo app. I use this app, that app. I'm recording it. What's the next step is editing and time management. One of the things that keeps people from podcasting is the time it takes to edit. And I know I've spent 3 hours on a 45-minute episode editing, right? And you probably did that in the beginning as well. So how do you help podcasters simplify that process?
You know, I'm very fortunate. I never did that. From the get-go, I didn't want to edit. It was a complicated process. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to do this. I had been a business owner for a very long time prior to getting into podcasting. So I was already putting a little efficiency eye on it, going, okay, we can already see this editing thing is going to be a time waster and a drain. Yeah. I don't want to have to do that. So I actually constructed my first podcast in a way that I didn't have to edit it.
Nice.
So I said, let's just do this and see how it works. And I said, if everybody's like, hey, this is awful, you know, if that's the feedback, then I'll add some stuff or I'll edit it or something else. And there were a couple times where I got 10 minutes into my podcast recording and I really hated it. And I went, you know what? I'm click, stop, erase, start over. So, you know, you lose a little bit of that time maybe when you don't edit, because you can't just go back in and change a couple sentences. But by and large, that's only happened to me a couple of times. So my thing for new podcasters is for your first 10 episodes, don't edit a thing. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't worry about adding music. Don't worry about adding, you know, ads. Don't worry about whether or not you say, just get it done. Get it done. Put it out. Do your own intro. Do your own outro. I still do that. I've recorded over 600 episodes at least between hosting and guesting. And I mean, I know that that's nothing in the bigger scheme of things, you know, with some of you, you know, big spenders over there. But, you know, for me, it's big. And I still do my own intro, my own outro. I don't record anything. I don't add music. I mean, you've been on one of my shows, you know, and I'm like, you know, hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Podcaster Nation. I just speak it every time. And I've had people go, well, you know, isn't that wasting a lot of time having to say that every time? And I'm like, timing. In the 20 seconds it takes for me to read this every single episode, I can't edit anything in the 20 seconds. So, no, it's just easier. After 10 episodes, you know, hey, then you have a good feel for who you're talking to, for how you're talking. You have a better idea for, I've heard other stuff, maybe I want to add this. But when you're first starting out, the only frame of reference you have is everybody else.
Yes.
So if you say, I really want to make it look this way or sound this way, I'm comparing it to somebody else's podcast, not my own.
Yeah. True.
So do 10 episodes and compare you to you, not you to someone else.
You know, that's such a great point. And when I was podcasting in the past, I would, you know, just jump right into the conversation. And I was like, you know, we'll add the intro later. And I had a backlog of 40 episodes that I had to record the intros for. I'm like, this is a new problem that I've created for myself. How am I going to do that? Luckily, there was, you know, I discovered a software, 11 Labs, that my team was then able to use my voice to create the intros to then insert in front of the episodes. But now I was like, you know, let's take that time. Let's give that time back to the team. So now I record the intros while I'm doing the conversation anyway. So we just cut down the time, make it super, super simple. And that's what you did, right? You started with the simple in your mind, like, hey, I don't want to spend no time editing because it does take a lot of time. And 20 seconds recording is much shorter than you having to spend another minute and a half in editing and in the post-production. I love your editing workflow. That's really cool. Now, when is it good enough actually the better option?
I think, you know, especially when you're starting off, good enough is fine. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we get back to that conversation about what is good enough. Is good enough my best that I can do? Is good enough mine needs to be as good as yours? Mm. And I think that we get really caught up in comparing, you know, my episode 5 to Junaid's episode, you know, 300. You know,
yeah.
They aren't going to match up. No. Mine's not going to be as good, no matter how good I might be. And I think that the beginning of podcasting is so humbling for people. I think folks have a hard time with that because I think everybody gets into it thinking they're going to be, you know, great, and they want to be great, and that's wonderful. But you do have to accept the fact at some point that you're learning how to do something brand new. And when you're learning how to do anything, like we've talked about before, whether it's play mm-hmm. basketball or, you know, cook or anything else, it isn't perfect the first time.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a very, very big deal. I think you're good enough is good enough if it's yours.
Yeah. I love that, Rory, because it helps me to think about. So you think about the podcast that I'm trying to launch that I haven't in a year and a half. So I've been thinking about launching another podcast all around helping people build home studios, right? And I've been thinking and thinking, and I've recorded maybe 7 to 8 episodes already, but I still have not published it yet. So help me get past my own perfectionism, because when you've been through a journey where you've done so good over the years and you've got, you know, 4 podcasts running right now, what do I need to do? What hoop do I need to jump over? Or what mindset do I need to make the shift of to say, hey, you know what? This stuff is good enough. Just put it out there and go, because it's going to help people level up one way or another.
I think the first thing to say is, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I'm a big believer in that. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? I'm going to put it out and everybody's going to go, oh, this is terrible. Man, what happened to Junaid? He had this great podcast over here and now this one's just awful, right? You know that's not going to happen. Mm. You're good at it. Mm. But we get caught up in that wanting to be perfect, right? And then we start thinking, hey, I have one podcast. If I start a second one, is that going to interfere with the first one? How's my workflow going to look? Everything else. My advice to everybody, including you, if that's really you in that situation, if you're really holding on to another podcast, brother.
Oh, absolutely am. That's why I asked the question.
Drop it today. Drop it today. Hang up with me.
Okay.
Drop it today. Because why not?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. I mean, you know, you're doing it very well. Why? Why wait?
Yeah, why wait?
And really, who are we trying to impress? Are we trying to impress ourselves? Are we trying to impress somebody else? Who's going to judge us besides us? Brother, you're successful at this, man.
It is us, right? It is. We are trying to impress ourselves. Like, I'm going to do better, right? There's that thing, and that's why we are the first linebacker behind pushing our stuff out there. And
yes,
in fact, not just one. I have like 2-3 podcast ideas. Like one was like a children's book stories that I was going to read and, you know, have a podcast so my kids can listen to it when they're going to sleep. Another was 99 names of Allah. Like there are 99 names and each name has a different meaning and how it relates to the the characteristics of God and how he is, you know, full of passion. So, like, that's another podcast that I want to launch. And those are, like, 2-minute episodes. I just haven't spent the time to go and record all of them and then, you know, push it out. But, yes, I will make it happen. I will push them out and I'll be like, hey, Rory, I did it. Here's my new podcast.
I love it, man. Those are great ideas. I mean, honestly, I love those ideas. I think those would be great. You know, if I were you, I'd take the one where you have a couple of episodes already recorded. I'd launch mm-hmm. it right now.
Okay.
I wouldn't even think twice. Just throw it out there and book your episodes, right? So that you don't have to do anything else with it. How many episodes do you have recorded, right? 7, 6?
So for the 99 names, I've already got 26.
What? What?
Wait, never mind. These are text files, so I don't know where the audio files are. But yeah, I might have a few already. So I might have like 18, maybe 10 or 18 that I can easily just push out.
You already got them. I mean, your workflow is done, bro.
Yeah.
Launch one and plot them out once a week, right? When you're not releasing your other podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then launch another one and plot them out on a different day, and launch the other one and plot them out and don't worry about it. Right.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, hey, organize your workflow from there. Okay. Hey, I have 20 weeks of content. I'm done. I don't have to worry about this. You know, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to worry about this podcast.
Well, wait till you hear about my backlog of this podcast. Right. I don't know if you want to know. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the podcast before. We've got about 80 back in the backlog, 80 episodes, and we're publishing daily. We're publishing daily episodes on this podcast alone. And a friend of mine was like, why don't you just publish them all out? Like, you don't need to hold them back. Like, you just publish them all out. I'm like, yes, I can do that. I could totally do that. But then I just pull back. I'm like, there's so much work to be done on the episode. Like, they are kind of like 99% done, like 98%, mm-hmm. right? They just need to go through a little process. But I don't think anybody cares about that more than I do.
I don't think they care about that because, you know, that's just me. I think if you didn't edit one of those podcasts, I think that would almost be great therapy for you, man.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I'm going to take one podcast. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to edit it. I'm not going to do anything. And let's just put it out and see what happens with your downloads and, you know, your anxiety level and everything else after you get that out there and get it done.
This has been very good therapy for me. So, thank you so much, Rory, for doing this for me. Rory, you've helped niche podcasters build real audiences, and that's something that I haven't done yet. So Hacks and Hobbies is more like a broad podcast. I bring a ton of people in here. But niche podcasters build real audiences. Mm-hmm. That's what you've been helping without relying on ads or expensive promotion because I don't want to spend for ads. I don't have time for a lot of promotion. Maybe I should. But what's your approach for growth? Talk us a little bit about it.
Yeah, social media is huge. that's a very, very big thing, but it's all stuff you can do yourself. And you know, people don't have to be on every single platform. I think that you have to look at it and say, who am I talking to? Like we said before, who am I actually speaking to? Right. So if I'm speaking to you know, men and women who have children and are in that maybe 35 to 55 age group, I'm on Facebook. That's the demographic of Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So let's focus on Facebook, and I'll just do it that way. And if every day you just put out, you know, a couple of posts, you know, there's a lot of different strategies you can use in terms of how you build it. But all you have to do with social media to succeed is convince the social media platform that you may one day buy an ad. If they think that you're a business person that's serious about building your stuff, that one day will buy an ad, they start to push you out more.
How do they know that we're going to buy an ad?
I work with something. I have got a whole system on how you publish. Okay.
Okay.
If you do this system every day for, say, 2 to 4 weeks, mm-hmm. by the end of 4 weeks, Facebook notices and they say, hey, this person's consistently posting. And they take notice. They kind of go, oh, who's this? you know, and they're looking out and they're going, oh, I see this person now. They'll push you out a little bit to see if it helps you grow. You do the same thing and you keep it going. And then at about 6 to 8 weeks, Facebook goes, wow, you know, this Junaid fellow, he's actually really, he's being serious. He's putting this stuff out there. They push you out a little bit more. At the end of 12 weeks, they go, he's serious. He's here. He's going to keep doing this. They keep pushing you out. You keep getting more and more. The reason they do, you're seeing returns from the work you're doing. And so the natural thing for you to do is to say, I want more returns. I want more. I want bigger. The way you do that is to buy ads at that point. So Facebook is all about making money. They're all about having you buy ads. And if you're somebody's in barbecues and babies and graduations, that's great. That's wonderful, right? That's what Facebook was founded on.
Yeah.
But as soon as they decide that about you, you don't even get sent out to your own followers. You know? So you have to convince the platform that you're a business and that you are a business. And once you do that, it takes off. It takes your time. You do have to be diligent about it. You do have to put in the elbow grease, but it doesn't cost you a dime.
That's so true. And Gary Vee talks about it all the time.
I've taken several folks. I have one. I've got the one really great success story I love sharing, and it's a gentleman who had a it was a Bible-based podcast, and it was it's called Uncharted, and so anybody who wants to go check it out, it'd be great. And the guy's name was Adam. He went from, I think he had maybe 4 or 5 downloads when he and I started working together.
Yeah.
And he had maybe 300 views every 28 days on his Facebook. And at the end of 4 months, he was at 60,000 views on his social media.
Wow.
And he was in the hundreds on downloads on his episodes. Didn't spend a dime. I mean, other than working with me.
Yeah.
But he did all the work himself. And it was really amazing what he did. And everything blew up from there. I mean, he was just like, wow. You know, we're talking numbers every week. And he's like, I can't believe these numbers. These are great. Because he convinced Facebook through his hard work and what he did. And by putting out the episodes the way he did, he convinced Facebook that he was there to stay and that he was serious. And they started pushing him out more.
I love that. Yeah. Rory, that's such a powerful story. And anybody can make that happen if they apply those tactical steps that you share upon. Now, as we're doing this consistently, Facebook starts noticing, they start pushing you, and you'll even get messages from Facebook, hey, we're pushing your content to even more people because you've been engaging, you've been doing all this stuff, right? So in their professional dashboard, I believe they give you that. But as they're being consistent, they're becoming successful because they're consistent, and people like consistency. You know, you want to watch your show at certain time of the day, every week or whatever. You know, even YouTube is doing that. Talk to me about how do you help people avoid that burnout while still growing their show? Because it requires a lot of work, but you want to make sure that you're not burning out.
I love that. And it is a very, very big problem. And that's why from the get-go, I try to make things as easy as possible for folks. For instance, when we're talking about posting on social media and helping to grow your podcast, there's three things on Facebook that you can do. You can do a story, you can do a post, and you can do a reel, right? If someone's using Buzzsprout, for instance, they can get a visual soundbite with the push of 2 buttons. It's a 30-second visual soundbite, you know, that has like the sound graph on it, and you can hear the music. Yeah. Those, you get one of those done, you copy paste, and it's an automatic reel. It's 30 seconds long. It has sound. It's a reel. You're done. So you don't have to worry about building content, taking a lot of time, burn yourself out. If you want to do a post, you simply copy and paste the link to your episode into the post and hit publish, and it's gone. Takes roughly 8 seconds to do. Your story can be any picture that you have in your phone. And you put one line on it, you know, that one little caption. You know, I tried this with a client. Her name was Cheryl. And I think she was trying to test me a little bit. She says, okay, I have a picture of this cat. I'm going to use this. I said, okay, what's the cat doing? She's like, laying there. I said, having another great relaxing day, and then put the podcast link in the bottom. And that's it, right? There's your story. Right? Easy, easy, easy. Don't overcomplicate it. Every reel we put out doesn't have to win an Academy Award. Every post we put up doesn't have to get 15 trillion likes and responses.
Yeah.
You just have to put one out. That's it. And the biggest thing to avoid burnout is don't edit.
Stop don't editing, edit. Guys.
And if I can, I want to throw out one more little thing about the burnout. Don't bother with the pre-interview if you're doing interviews.
Okay.
I really hate the pre-interview. I think it's an absolute waste of my time. I've had people who have said, hey, I really want to have a pre-interview to make sure I'm a good fit for your podcast. And I'm like, that's a guest telling me that. And I'm going, okay, first of all, if you don't think I'm good enough to come on my show, then, you know, goodbye.
Say goodbye.
But, right. Then I'm like, okay, you want to have a meeting? Mm. No. I put out 4 podcasts. I'm every day on 2 of them. I'm multiple days on the other ones. If I tried to meet with every single person twice, my week would disappear right from under my nose.
Might as well record 2 episodes with them.
Exactly right. Because that's what it is. Because I have to schedule it twice.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're in my Calendly 2 different times and you're taking up 2 different spots, I just lost money. You know, I'm sorry. That's insane. And all I do is I book a little extra time. I spend 10 minutes talking to the person before we record. And I do a little bit of research on my own time, you know, which I'm going to do anyway.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if I'm concerned about them. So the pre-interview is an insane time waster and burns you out. And editing is an insane time waster that burns you out. So there you go.
Well, I've learned 2 new things to do with my time, because I do I've done the pre-interviews. I've done 180, 200 of them over the year in just 1 year. And I noticed 30% of the people weren't showing up on those pre-interviews. One guy didn't up on an actual recording. I've never talked to this guy. So I was like, okay. So I implemented something that kind of saved me some time, where I was like bringing 5, 6, 10 people for a pre-interview together in the same call. Like, hey, here's how I do my podcast. If you're still interested, come book another time and then we'll record it. But then something I did today, unconventional on the podcast, was I had somebody come in and she booked the time. So there's a new thing that I was trying out. I was doing a live stream to Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube, where I brought on 4 different guests and I asked them different questions, trying to get to know them. So kind of like a pre-interview, but also a live stream. And in one session, this lady was like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Can I come back? And then she just left immediately. She came back to record 2 episodes with me regardless. She's really, really kind woman. But then today, there was a live session. I was like, oh, this is a live session, but there's only one person. So instead of doing a pre-interview, I was like, you know what? I like you. I like what you're doing. Let's just record an episode. And it felt so natural because she had provided the intro in the small form that I had for the pre-interview. I was able to use that and create a really good set of questions to ask her. So, Rory, you've made me a convert. I mean, I just might have to change the way I podcast.
I hope so. That would make me very happy if that was a decision you decided to make, brother.
I mean, I'm already publishing 2 new podcasts, right? And I'm changing the way I podcast.
Looking forward to those.
Right, Rory? So listen, guys, this is really powerful stuff. I mean, I've been podcasting for 7, 8 years, and if I'm learning something new from Rory, I'm sure that you are like gung-ho to like get started and move the needle to the next step, because the only thing you're going to gain is getting better at your craft, getting better at who you are, getting better at putting out more content and getting that message out into the world that people need it. So Rory, thank you so much for this opportunity. I absolutely love having this conversation with you. The breakdown and showing us that podcasting doesn't have to be complicated. complicated or expensive.
It's my pleasure, man. I appreciate you having me on and give me the opportunity to talk to everybody. So,
amen, amen. Where's the best place for people to connect with you, learn more about Podcaster Nation, or get your coaching?
Yeah, I'm real simple. It's my name, at Rory Paquette, right there. RoryPaquette. Just that, at Rory Paquette, either on Facebook or Instagram. And to be honest with you, I pretty much house everything on Facebook because I'm that demographic, you know? So those are my people, and that's where I'm at.
Me too. And I was talking to someone the other day and like, hey, I have great grandkids. I'm like, wait, what? He has great grandkids. He's like, yeah, my second great grandkid is going to be born in like a couple months. I'm like, whoa, dude, you're that old. And it's probably like some adopted kids he had. So I don't know how somebody in their 60s can be a great grandfather, but I don't know everything. All right. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure. Fun. Keep hacking. Thank you, man. Really. I loved it.
Thank you so much. Guys, you've heard it here. If you've been waiting to start your podcast, now you know. It's simpler than you think. Don't wait for perfect. Just start like I did and like Rory did. This is Junaid signing off from Hacks and Hobbies. Until next time, keep learning, keep hacking, and keep podcasting your passions. We'll see you again in the next episode. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery, and it's not edited. At least that's what I hope. See y'all.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.